The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss Campbell Fighting Dodo Birds and Leaky Black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching live on YouTube, please smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. You always have consent. If you haven't subscribed yet, please go ahead and knock that out as well. All right, Dead Leg, the deadline for underclassmen to withdraw from the 2022 NBA draft and return to school has passed. Thank God. And the biggest name to announce at the deadline that he is returning to school is Gonzaga's Drew Timmy. Unsurprisingly, he announced a return to Gonzaga, but still big news. By the way, Julian Strother, also not really a surprise, he announced he's returning to Gonzaga. So the Zags are now returning six of the top eight scorers from a team that finished number one at KenPom. Here's the question. Should I have moved the Zags to number one in the top 25 and what? If you were the author of the top 25 and one, and maybe someday you will be, if you were, would you have moved? Where would you have the Zags ranked right now in the preseason?
I'm the annually once a year author of the top 357 and one. That's what I am. So I eventually will have a team that I'll put number one once we get to the preseason. All right. So I think I brought this up on a pod a couple weeks ago. I remember Pomeroy. We talked about this very thing. So, but since you're asking me, Pomeroy said, listen, there's so much interesting cases for teams that could be number one, and I'm already seeing, you know, a little bit too much homogeny with preseason rankings here. So with that in mind, by the way, Pomeroy tipped his hand, I think, in the past 48 hours by saying that if Timmy were to come back, Gonzaga should be the number one team. So Gonzaga, much, and they have been the number one team in that metric for most of the past two seasons, going on three seasons. So with that being said,
by the way, what if we find out that there's just a flaw in his algorithm that always has Gonzaga number one, and they're not really the best team in the country? It's just something wrong in there. What if you ever thought about that?
That used to be a Wisconsin deal. This is really for the nerdy set, but yes, about 10 years ago, he actually, I'm almost positive this is the case, he had to tweak the old algo so that Wisconsin wasn't, you know, just finding its way into the top 10 year after year after year when you know, some of the results might not have dictated that to be the case there. But anyway, yeah, I know. Maybe Pomeroy's got in the bag for Gonzaga. But then again, many predictive metrics have done it, so it's not just him. With all of that as prelude, I would recommend you don't put Gonzaga number one. One, I think it's good to have disagreement at the top of the preseason rankings, no matter where they come from. Websites, you know, national AP poll, coaches poll, metrics, all that. I think it's good to disagree. Okay. I like to see a variety of different teams occupying the very top spot. Obviously, and quite clearly, Gonzaga has a good case, a very good case. Rasir Bolton is also coming back, in addition to Strother and Timmy. And when you take all that into account, plus there, you know, there's plenty of buzz that the, you know, Malachi Smith, SoCon Player of the Year out of Chattanooga, is a lean to go to Gonzaga. And if that were to happen, yeah, they'd be fully stocked again, and they would certainly have a case. But I'd say just put them in the top 3 to 4. It's a safe bet there. They'll probably occupy that in predictive metrics for most of the season. And Timmy, I'll get to Timmy in a second, but we'll stick to Gonzaga overall. Big news, and I think it's hard to make the case against them that they shouldn't be in the top three, considering everything that's coming back.
I have them fourth.
Ooh, okay. I actually didn't know. By that, I thought you said you were moving him up. All right, so you got him four.
No, okay. Well, here's the problem. You know, because I started getting tweets last night. You know, Drew Timmy's back at Gonzaga. Time to update the top 25 and one. I have, and we're up to version 13.0, by the way.
Halfway home.
Since version 1.0, I have had Drew Timmy and Julian Strother projected back to Gonzaga. It's funny, I would get these tweets for the past couple of months now, and every time it was like, why do you have Gonzaga in the top five? Who are they bringing back? And I'm like, just because Drew Timmy and Julian Strother are in the NBA draft doesn't mean they're going to stay in the NBA draft. In fact, I don't believe either one of them will stay in the NBA draft. And so here we are. Rashear Bolton was a surprise because he had indicated, or his father had indicated, perhaps both, that they were done with college. And so that combined with Jalen Williams officially leaving Arkansas pushed me to move Gonzaga ahead of Arkansas. But, you know, I still got North Carolina 1, Houston 2, Kentucky 3, Gonzaga 4. And, you know, there are going to be some people, I think the computers, Bartorvik, KenPom, will have Gonzaga 1. There will be some rankings, human rankings, that have Gonzaga 1. And it's totally reasonable. But if you want me to counter argue it, they did lose two of their top three scorers in Chet Holmgren and Andrew Nimhard. And it's not like they're bringing in some impactful, obviously impactful people, you know, at that level. You know, the year before when they lost players, it was like, but they're bringing in Chet Holmgren. The year before that when they lost players, it was like, but they're bringing in Andrew Nimhard. They're not bringing in that level of guy right now. Now, they could. You know, the transfer portal was still filled with talented guys. And you mentioned Malachi Smith, who would obviously be an impactful guy. But as of right now, you know, I'm just going to put Gonzaga at four. I think they belong in everybody's top five, but closer to five than one. And you know what? If they add, and I think they will, big pieces, then, you know, version 14.0 is just right around the corner. I can update then. But for now, North Carolina 1, Houston 2, Kentucky 3, Gonzaga 4, and Arkansas 5.
I like Hickman to take a big jump next season, and we could get to the middle of next season and see that he is maybe not quite Nemhard, but I actually believe in him and his growth and his ability, and that program's done a pretty good job at developing players there. So we'll see. Point well taken. Can we talk Timmy coming back, though, and everything that I was tied to? First of all, I was kind of poking around on this week and trying to get a feel, and a couple things on Timmy. One, I don't know if this is true or not, but I did have a front office executive tell me earlier this week that the buzz in NBA circles is that Gonzaga backers were trying to rally about $2 million to get Timmy to come back in NIL money. So, and that would be, I was told that would be close to what Holmgren made last season. Was told Holmgren made more than $1 million in NIL last season. So completely, hey, go get the bag, without a doubt. But there was a real 50-50 vibe. I know you always had him coming back. But there was a real 50-50, 55-45 vibe of whether or not he would return or not. Man, do I love this decision. We've got so many good players coming back to college basketball. It's fantastic. And Timmy is at the top of the list. Now, Sheboy is the reigning national player of the year, but Timmy has been playing for a relevant team that gets one seeds and has been very good for three straight seasons. The way this he was not technically the last one, but he was the last big one. He took it to the end. And then the way that he did this, you know, I checked in with Gonzaga's SID, Barrett Henderson, who does a wonderful job. I checked in with him late on Wednesday. I was like, you know, do you have any, like, we think this is word in, like, you know, he's like, dude, I got nothing. Yeah, nothing. He didn't know, which is fair. That's, you know, sometimes they might, because, you know, these teams, they got graphics people. They want to have something lined up. This is so Drew Timmy. First, you know, he just simply sends out a tweet that says, I'm back. Like, it's not even grammatically correct. It's just there. There's no graphic. There's no statement. There's no IG video. There's no narrated thing for 75 seconds about here's my dream or whatever. No music playing. It's just Drew Timmy being like, I'm back.
Well, isn't that the Michael Jordan thing? Isn't that what that is?
It is. Now, I don't know. Now, I put that upon him. Like in 95, Jordan came back. There was a fax and a memo sent out through his agent. The agent kind of, you know, David Falk kind of did a huge intro, if you will, or like a 4 or 5 sentence intro. And then at the bottom, it just said, Jordan said, I'm back. This was just Timmy just saying, I'm back. Now, technically, Shams Charania broke this, I don't know, 3-4 minutes before he technically announced it. So I even more so, I'd like to believe that Timmy wanted to do this at 11:59 Eastern, but then someone broke the news and he was like, whatever, I'll just send out this tweet. That's all I need. It's just so vintage Drew Timmy. I wanted a razor involved in some way with this decision, no matter which way it went. But College Hoops just got, you know, it got a nice boost. Timmy's good for the sport. He's become polarizing. I find his game entertaining as hell. He can Timmy stash on folks left and right. I don't care, GP. He will be in the running for National Player of the Year again. He was last year's. Oh, by the way, he was the preseason pick and near unanimous preseason pick for National Player of the Year heading into last season. This year, you know, you could take Shibwe. You could take Armando Bacot. You could take Timmy. You want to get adventurous, you could take someone else. But we've got some real familiar players coming back, all bigs, and that's understandable with why they're doing it. But I love this. He's got a real chance. I feel like this will be something we talk about into next season a lot. If Drew Timmy comes back and he averages, which this is completely reasonable. Let's say Timmy averages 21, 10, and, you know, shoots 50% from the field. Like, he will not only, he's already a Gonzaga legend, but he has a chance to be one of the more memorable college basketball players of this century. As by virtue of playing for 4 years at a relevant program, that's always good. That'll be seeded highly in the tournament. The numbers will be there. The production will be there. We'll see how Gonzaga can do in the tournament, but great college story. I love this stuff, GP.
He's been an All-American twice, and I think his numbers will be better next season than they've ever been. A, because he'll be better than he's ever been. B, he's not going to be sharing a front court with Chet Holmgren. And I know that he didn't really share the front, like Chet was out on the perimeter a lot. But, you know, if you're wondering why, you know, his rebounding numbers went down slightly, his production went down slightly. Some of that was, you know, he had another awesome front court player playing with him. And, you know, as of this moment, it doesn't appear they're going to have another Chet Holmgren type presence in the front court with Drew Timmy. So I think his number, his minutes per game probably go up. He's averaged right around 28 the last couple of seasons. I could see them going up just a little bit. And I think from a production standpoint, he'll be as good as he's ever been, better than he's ever been. And I would think that his game will evolve a little bit. Like, you don't want Drew Timmy away from the rim too much because he's so awesome, like catching it on the block and at the elbow and, you know, making plays from there. But there were, you know, at the combine, he did shoot it from the perimeter way more often than he shoots it at Gonzaga. And I wonder if that wasn't a discussion that was had about coming back to school. Like, can I do some other things? Can I, you know, because that is what he's going to have to be, a power forward in the NBA if he's going to play in the NBA. And that position, you are required basically now to shoot, to at least be a 3-point threat. And I won't be surprised if he wants to show that a little bit, you know, in his fourth season of college basketball. And, you know, I think I'll be surprised if he doesn't. So he'll be terrific, but, you know, like I said earlier, I always expected him to come back, and it's not because, you know, I can't leave before I win a national championship, or I just love Gonzaga so much. I'm sure all of that stuff registers in some ways. But as I wrote last week, when we did the dribble handoff about which players should come back to school, withdraw from the NBA draft, you know, I led that with Drew Timmy. And for me, it just came down to option A and option B, and option A coming back to Gonzaga far outweighed option B. Like I wrote, if Nigel Pack is worth $400,000 to somebody, Drew Timmy's got to be at least 3 times worth that, perhaps more. And as you point out, it looks like possibly more. So you're choosing between being the best player on your team, arguably the best player in the country, for one of the best teams in the country, playing in packed arenas on national television, getting big numbers, being a star of the sport, chartering every flight you take, staying in nice hotels. That's option A. And option B was, we'll see. You know, is it a two-way contract? Is it split in time between the G League and the NBA? Even if he is drafted 47th and is on an NBA roster, you know what? He doesn't play. He's not playing. That's not fun. So if you can make more money being a star of college basketball than you can being a bench warmer at best in the NBA, then what are we even talking about? Like, why do you even have to take it to the deadline? To me, he had maybe the easiest decision of anybody in the sport right there with Oscar Tshiebwe.
Good case there. I like that he stretched out the drama. Part of me was rooting for him to go to literally 11:59, but he stopped just short of that. Credit to Rush the Court, who tweeted this. I saw this. I did not fact check this. I'm going to take Rush the Court's word for it.
Wow.
They said Drew Timmy, if he were to be a consensus All-American again next season, so he was a consensus All-American the past two seasons, first or second team, I guess. If he did it again, first or second team, and I think that's per AP All-American, which is what like officially registers, although he was a first-teamer with us the past two seasons. CBS Sports, Timmy was a first-team All-American the past two seasons. If he does it, though, for a third time as a consensus receiver, which means across the board, you're on every ballot, here are the players that I won't even trivia time you. Here are the players that have done it in the 2000s. Luke Herangode. How about that? Herangode. Ready for that? Tyler Hansbrough, of course. Mateen Cleaves did it. And the other person to do it, and he's the most recent instance of this, is Doug McDermott at Creighton. So the function of this is that if you're really, really awesome in college, you're going to get consideration to be an All-American. But if you're really, really awesome, there's a good chance that you're good enough to go and chase your NBA dream. So doing it for 3 years is not an easy thing. We understand why this is the case there. But nonetheless, kind of speaks to what I mentioned a few minutes ago. Like, he's got a real chance here to be among the more recognized, famous college players in modern history, for sure, particularly if Gonzaga is a top five team, again, gets a one seed, can again make it to the second weekend minimally, let alone a Final Four. Think about Drew Timmy leads Gonzaga to a final. I'm not even saying they got to win the title, but if they did, then forget about it. It's all over. That's all she wrote, without a doubt. But even like another Final Four appearance, there's a lot that he stands to gain from. Last thing for me on this, and I don't make a habit of like pointing out like randos tweets and stuff. I just have to mention this because this made me, I was cackling last night. I tweeted that Timmy was channeling MJ by just tweeting, "I'm back. That's it. I'm back." Shouts to at Pure Irish Gal. Guarantee this person was not born before 95. So I was saying the statement. It was what Jordan says. Comparing Drew Timmy to Michael Jordan is literally blasphemy. One puts a team on his back and refuses to lose. The other is Drew Timmy. Do you think I was actually comparing the two as players? Come on, people.
I mean, I still
Come
get
on.
This. Oh, I hate
I was people. Laughing at that. I was like, oh, this person has no idea the reference I was making. Just and absolutely none. None
people,
at all.
People are the worst, man.
None at all.
Aren't people the worst?
How dare you compare Drew Timmy to Michael Jordan? I wasn't. It was just.
Dude, I still get this all the time, even though I've explained it 50,000 times. I can't believe this ball-headed guy's comparing Chet Holmgren to Luka Doncic. I'm not. I never have. I just said that Luka was misevaluated for similar reasons to the reasons Chet Holmgren might be misevaluated. That's it. I've never compared them as players. I've never compared them as people. I've never compared them in any way other than to say, people watch Luka Doncic in Europe, acknowledged he was awesome, he doing unprecedented things, but they were worried about his body, his first step, his athleticism, all these things that had never prevented him from being great, but might prevent him from being great in the NBA. And people missed on him. Same thing is happening right now with Chet Holmgren. He's got these things with his body that have never prevented him from being great, but they could theoretically can prevent him from being great in the NBA. We'll see. That's the comparison. But I swear you can go look at the Chet Holmgren breakdown. It's like in the comments. I can't believe this guy's comparing Chet Holmgren to Luka Doncic. Does he even watch basketball? Truth is, I don't watch basketball.
We're gonna make accurate comparisons. Drew Timmy obviously clearly brings to, and our editor Adi Joseph loves my comparisons. He was I think he was saying Drew Timmy. What was it? Drew Timmy and Magic Johnson. That's really what we're looking for here right now. Is that anyway? Timmy's back.
Right.
And the others that we can get to.
And you mentioned the other guys that have been 3-time All Americans. Like, let's run through it again. Luke Herangode, Tyler Hansborough, Doug Cleaves McDermott.
And McDermott. That's since 2000. Yeah.
Okay. So three of those guys got one obvious thing in common. But the other thing they all have in common.
What's that thing, Parrish? What's the thing in common?
They look like Chet Holmgren and Luka Doncic. Okay. But the other thing they have in common is that they're great college players who aren't obviously ideal NBA prospects. I wonder if coaches should recruit to that. Like when you go out and recruit Cason Wallace, you know you're getting something that's great that's going to probably be there for 1 year, right?
It's hard to do, but it's hard because when you're sitting in a gym and you're watching a guy who's clearly awesome and that guy's saying, I'm interested in your school, you're going to be like,
No, I get it. I'm not saying don't take Cason Wallace.
Yeah.
That'll be the new comment.
Come and get him.
I can't believe this guy said you shouldn't recruit Cason Wallace. I'm not saying you don't recruit players like Cason Wallace. I'm just saying, I wonder if there wouldn't be some intelligence if it wouldn't be smart to go, who's the best prospect in the country who looks like he'll be awesome in college, but like is a undersized front court player or an incredible point guard, but doesn't have ideal, athleticism. Like, who is that guy? Cause that guy's going to probably have to stay in school for a while. And boy, if you get those kind of guys in school for 3 or 4 years, well, that's how you get the Drew Timmies and the Tyler Hansboroughs and the Mateen Cleaves, so on and so forth. I don't know. It's just something I've wondered about.
Yeah. It's tough to forecast. And then you got to hope they don't go in the transfer portal, but point well taken.
All right. So last night you tweeted a possible preseason All-American team.
This was way off the top of my head, but yes, continue.
A lot of big men.
I mean, it's not going to be my ballot, but I was just saying, like, oh yeah, we got these. Here's some dudes. Go ahead.
So this is where you and I differ on this. And I'm not saying I'm right and you're wrong because like there's no perfect way to do this. I like All-American teams to look like real teams. Like, could you reasonably put this team on the court and play a game? I don't want to speak for you, but like, who's the best 5 players in the country? That's my first team All-American. So run us through what you had, and then I'll try to adjust to add some smaller players who can dribble.
Okay.
Because you're going to need somebody to dribble.
Well,
I know it's not a real team.
You're not going to believe this team. But before we get to that, how about this throwback? First, check this out.
Oh, wow. Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boom. Okay, there we go. That's right. Like to mix it up, change it up a little bit. Here we go.
Got dead leg throwing to the spots now. What do you even need me for?
Well, I didn't know if you knew it was coming.
Get out of here.
So, well, why not? Okay, so last night, Wednesday, potential preseason first team All-American squad. Okay. Shibwe, obviously. Timmy, obviously. Baycott, obviously. Then you got two that I think are up for debate. Those three guys are going to be on. I'm a believer in Trace Jackson Davis as a get it done. Awesome college player. There's a reason why he was not able to go to the NBA. There's clearly stuff with his game that needs to be expanded on the offensive end, but I love it. I will probably put Trace on my preseason first team. Yeah, that's four picks. And then I wanted to mix in a guard there. I was like, well, what guard would fit? Got Kendrick Davis. Certainly he's an opportunity to do it. Marcus Sasser was really, really good. So I went with Sasser there. Now I think, and we'll get to some other guys that came back. I got refreshers on who's going, who's staying. So we can fill you in here as the ep goes on. But as it pertains to a potential preseason first team AA squad, I think your issue is that I've got Sheboy, Timmy, Baycott, and Jackson Davis. They all play essentially the same position. Now, go ahead and make your case, but what I will reiterate what I've said before. Again, I just want like the five best players. This team is never going to play on the court together. They're never going to play another team. They're not going to have to be coached. We don't have to put them on a squad. They're not going to wear the same uniforms. I just want five really, really awesome players. Yeah, usually get in at least one position. So at least one guard, or not five guards, at least one big. That's all I care about. But they're not actually going to ever play together, so I don't care about having like two guards and a big and a wing. I don't care about that.
I do. I care about that deeply.
But they aren't going to play anyone.
Still,
what
like
bothers even me is when you have a first team like the Pac-12 does, and it's 10 dudes.
Well, that's outrageous.
Five guys.
Five.
Five.
Five guys. First team's five guys. I hate that. And here's the whatever conference, first team, all conference. It's eight guys. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Ridiculous.
It's outrageous. I like the way the NBA does it. You know, you can't just take five centers or five guards. You got to actually make it sensible from a position perspective.
But dude, what just happened this year?
I don't have any idea.
Then you get guys.
You tell me.
Not a chime in. You're going to know this better than us off the top of our head. You can only have like Jokic made a first team. So Embiid's not on it. Am I right on that, Nada?
Embiid is not on it. He made second team.
Because you have NBA to have one center. Go ahead. Go ahead, Nada. Sorry.
Is
he done?
Did he die? Is it over? Is it over for him?
Yada, are you there?
I'm here. For some reason, my internet is tripping. But the thing is, they wanted Jokic to be a forward too. So some ballots did have Jokic as the forward as well. So there are ways to get around this.
But it's ridiculous. Like these rules that they box themselves into prevents like. Joel Embiid is not a first-team All-American because, you know, the NBA and GP think you got to have position. That's ridiculous. Embiid's one of the five best players in the league, and he wasn't NBA first team.
I would argue there's got to be something in between what you're doing and what they're doing, which is you want to have two traditional bigs, that's fine. Like, you know, you could have Jokic and Embiid. They could theoretically play together. I'm not sure how well it would work in the modern NBA, but they could theoretically play together with a, you know, three guards or two guards and a wing or whatever. Anyway, here's what I would go with. I think you're right, Marcus Sasser. If you got to pick a guard, that's where you pick. Preseason top five team, and people forget because he got hurt last season, but go look at what he was doing before he got hurt. He was performing like a first-team All-American. He was awesome. So I would go Marcus Sasser. And yes, I've got Baycott, Timmy, Sheboy. And I know that stretches
you
what
can't
I'm
trying to play those three together. So again,
you do whatever I could
argument, but yes, well, you have to have them all on the first team.
I acknowledge I'm stretching everything I've been arguing.
Run an offense with those three bigs. It'd be amazing to watch.
Well, anyway. we would have the new and improved Drew Timmy out on the wing shooting threes. I don't know how he would guard out there. In fact, actually, I do. I know exactly how he would guard out there. I know exactly how that would work out. Whatever. It's hard not to, I acknowledge, have a first team without those three guys on it. It's unfortunate. We've talked about this before. I think I'll write about this next week. It's not a coincidence that all these great bigs are back. It's because they're not valued in the NBA. So that's why the bigs are back, because in the NBA, Armando Baycott is an awesome college player. I don't know how it's going to work in the NBA. Same thing for Drew Timmy. Same thing for Oscar Tshiebwe. So let's just go there. Now I got to pick two guards. I think Marcus Sasser is one of them. And what I want to do with the other one is I'm looking for who's going to be a great guard on a great team. Nick Smith, Arkansas?
Maybe. Just unproven, but yes, maybe.
That's where I would go, I think. Nick Smith at Arkansas.
Last time Arkansas had a preseason first team All-American. Corliss? Has anyone done it since? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm just asking aloud. Hogs fans.
But yeah, I mean, nothing stands out. I mean, the first thing that popped into my head was Bobby Portis. But
I don't feel like he was preseason first teamer. No way. I feel like he actually got better, came on, and became kind of a late bloomer draft pick. But yeah.
Yeah. So some other options: Keontae George at Baylor. I'm looking at a lot of freshmen. Keontae George at Baylor. Amari Bailey,
of course,
at UCLA. Kaysen Wallace at Kentucky.
You know, that's not invalid after this conversation 20 minutes ago. Continue.
Here's a good one. Mike Miles, TCU.
Sleeper pick, third team at best. He's good, but he can't go first team.
Yeah.
TCU, like, by the way. Whew.
Yeah, you know, they got Damian Baugh back at the deadline. He had previously, it was reported, that he was going to stay in the NBA draft. So I updated the top 25, and one dropped TCU down a few spots. And then he announced, never mind, I'm coming back. So now TCU is returning, you know, the top six scores from a team that finished 26th at KenPom. And I moved them back up to 14th. I've got them 14th at the top 25 and one. I guess this is a good place to sort of talk about other decisions at the deadline that impacted the top 25 and one, and by extension, the college basketball landscape. The real loser, I think, in the final days, probably Michigan, because they lose Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate. Yeah. And those are two guys that you bring both of them back. I think Michigan's maybe a preseason top 10 team and probably the favorite in the Big Ten. You lose them both. And you know, now Michigan's like, you know, they bring back Hunter Dickinson, obviously. They lose a lot.
The biggie. Not on our first team All-America. He would be a second teamer, in my opinion.
Yeah. But, you know, they bring him back for the same reasons. UNC's bringing back Baycott. Gonzaga's bringing back Timmy. Kentucky's bringing back Shibwe. You know, I love Jet Howard, Juwan's son, who is enrolling.
Yes.
But now, I've dropped Michigan down to 18th. I mean, that's a team that could have been preseason top 10, but they lose two guys that I think Houston could maybe go bottom of the first round, but both those guys could go in the second round. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. The top of the sport is often impacted by those types of decisions. What reasonable NBA prospects did you get to come back to school? Kansas, great example last season. They get Ochai Agbaji back. He could have reasonably stayed in the NBA draft, probably been a second-round pick, comes back to school, national championship. Michigan, you could have reasonably brought those two guys back. Instead, they stay in the draft, and they'll still be good, but I think Indiana is probably the favorite in the Big Ten now. Michigan, you know, slotted somewhere after that, along with Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan State probably.
Michigan's a big loser. How about this? The schools that were hurt the most by the decision by players not to return. So I would say, like, Michigan was hurt, but Colorado State's a bigger loser because by not having David Roddy, who decided to stay in, you know, he announced his decision 12 hours until the deadline. Him leaving Colorado State removes the Rams from consideration for potential preseason top 25 status. I still think Colorado State will be good, but now in that conference, like maybe Wyoming 1, San Diego State 2, then you get to Colorado State. Maybe, whereas if Roddy was there, I would have had CSU best.
Well, I had Colorado State 20th in the top 25 and one with David Roddy. That would have been first in the Mountain West Conference. And now I dropped him out. You know, he's such a massive player there. And you know, that's another one where, you know, he could reasonably stay in the draft, which is what he's doing, but could have also reasonably come back to school. Yeah, and when I label people that way, I usually mean guys that aren't obvious locks to go in the first round. And he's certainly one of those guys. And so you get him back, you know, you you could win a conference championship. You lose him, you still might win a conference championship, but you won't be projected to do it now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Arizona was also dinged largely. Now, again, it's these are on different, you know, territories, if you will, because Roddy was like 50-50-ish. Musa Diabate, Caleb Houston, seen 50-50. Arizona knew that it was losing Mathurin and knew that it was losing Christian Coloco, but then it also lost Dalen Terry, lost three really, really good players. We'll see what Tommy Lloyd can do in his second season losing, you know, quality pieces on a Wildcats team that got, you know, got a one seed, got knocked out by Houston. Lloyd, you know, clearly did better in his first season than people thought. But I thought, if you're looking at what team actually lost the most underclassmen talent and impact players, even if they were expected to go, you know, you got to consider the likes of Duke and then really Arizona as well, I thought was a big one there. Guys who left, in my opinion, here are players. How about this? There are 58 picks this year. We're down from two. I don't know why it's 58 instead of 60. Teams that got, they obviously, that's punishment. They lost. I don't know what the circumstances. Yeah,
they were. I think they were cheating in free agency.
There you go. There
like
you
they
go.
Were. They were getting deals done before.
Cheating got so rampant that we one year a draft was just 34 picks. 34. The rest of you take a hike. That's what that would be interesting to me. But whatever. 58 instead of 60 is abnormal there. With that in mind, there were more than 60 underclassmen who declared. And that doesn't even count the seniors who had the bonus year of COVID eligibility. They just didn't use it. But there were like a lot of players. GP, I think there were close to like 100 players, if not more, that technically went early. Like they could have still returned to college. A lot of these guys won't get picked. I still think there will be guys that don't get drafted that will wind up getting deals after proving themselves in summer league. But just keep that in mind. Like there's, you know, this is going to be an annual thing. It doesn't mean it's terrible or whatever. Some guys are well aware that their chances of being drafted are not that high. They're just going to take the advice they're being given. And a couple of these guys, it will actually work out. They will not get drafted. Some people might show some cynicism or dismiss them or mock them on draft night. And then they'll be awesome in summer league. We'll look up in November and they'll actually be on a roster. So it does happen, but it's not common. And some guys are going to wind up getting squeezed out and living that G League life or going overseas in the next couple of years. That being said, here are the biggest names that left who I think would have just benefited from a year of college, come back and improve their stock. On a related note, I will have a feature on E.J. Liddell on this very thing. A year ago, E.J. Liddell tested the process, got blunt, honest feedback. He was too heavy. Defense could still improve. Offense absolutely needed some improvement. He listened. E.J. Liddell went from a almost certain non-draft pick last year who would have been that fringe, like, doesn't get drafted, immediately we want him on our summer league. Let's see what he can do. Now, that's not what he did. He came back, and now E.J. Liddell is like a lock first rounder, could even go in the top 20 there. Guys who I think could have been similar, Trevor Keels, he's not going to go in the top 20. He'll get drafted. I think if Keels had come back to Duke, there would have been a real shot for him to improve his stock. But I get why he left. I understand why he left.
But he, to me, he's the biggest one. If he would have, he's probably going to be picked in the 30s or 40s. And he's a guy who, if he comes back and say, shoots 38% from three on four attempts per game, as opposed to what he shot this season, now he's a guy who could go in the top 20.
Agreed. But he decided to go. Understood. I just thought if he had come back, man, he would have had a real, real chance. Max Christie of Michigan State, another one. I think if Max Christie had returned and played for Tom Izzo, he would have turned himself into a bona fide top 20 pick. Didn't happen. Diabate in Houston also, I don't know if they would have been top 20 picks. One of them could have been, but they're going to take their chance. By all, I'm not begrudging these players. I'm just giving you, hey, I just think if they'd come back, they would have been better.
There was some thought in recent weeks, like at the combine, that Houston, Caleb Houston, had gotten some sort of promise guarantee to shut things down and remain in the NBA draft. I can't speak to whether it's true or not, but that was certainly what some NBA people were under the impression of. So if he heard what he wanted to hear and got that type of, you know, promise, then, you know, what he's doing is totally sensible.
This next player needed to go. I'm not going to disagree with it, but I've gotten interesting feedback in the past couple of weeks about how much of an unknown he still is. Kendall Brown, had he come back, there's a chance he could have developed and been like, there's a belief that had he returned, he could have actually grown into someone where a year from now, it's like Kendall Brown's got to go in the top five. He's not going to do that this year. I've been told that his potential and ceiling is so high, he won't drop below 15, but there's a few teams that aren't going to take a chance on him. He's an interesting case. He should go. Let me be clear on this, but there is, I'm relaying the opinion of a couple of people at the NBA level who expressed to me that if he had actually gone back to college, he really might have had a chance to make more money next year. But guys are just simply, and I don't fault him for this, guys are not going to be like, well, if I go 13 and I make, you know, this, I'm in this bracket for how much I'm going to be paid, do I want to risk that so that I'm 7 a year from now? I get it. That was an interesting one I learned.
No, and that's correct. The other side of that is come back to school, and what if you're just not that good again?
Right. Then the chance that you kind of scoot, yeah, without.
Like right now, somebody's going to take him on what they think he can become. But if you do two whatever seasons of college basketball, now they're going to focus on what is this just what he is? Like a guy that looks the part, measures the right way, but not really a great basketball player. If I'm Kendall Brown, I would have done exactly what he did. Go get paid, because let's just worst case scenario it. You're really not that good. But then let's get paid before they figure it out.
He's going to be an interesting one. I would say he is right now ranking in the top three of guys that can/will go in the top 20 to 25, that there's just the most unknown mystery surrounding him, and teams have some hesitation with it. Very interesting discussions going on about Kendall Brown right now. But I don't fault him for going. How about this one? I got three more names for you. Hung Jung Lee out of Davidson. Now, I get why he left. He's 22. He's going to be 22 later this year. His shooting numbers dropped. He went from 46% from three to 37.7. He went from 60% from two, minor drop, down to 58.4. And then his free throw shooting a year ago, it was 89.8% down to 78.2%. I think he's got, you know, a fair chance down the line. We look up, he's actually sticking on the roster, really good shooter, just a role player. But the numbers dipped. He's getting older, and he didn't want a chance. And he's not a player that was around. Like, Davidson was a good team, but he wasn't quite as good. I believe if he had returned, he had the potential to be really quite good. But I think that's an age play more than anything. And he got talked into, like, you gotta go now. But I actually thought he would have had a chance to really bounce back and be pretty
good. His sophomore season, he was a 50-40-90 guy.
Tremendous. It didn't really happen this past year, which is a bit surprising because – really, and I remember talking with Davidson's staff at the tournament and during the season. Foster Lawyer was actually a better distributor for what McKillop runs, and Lee didn't. He was good, but he didn't capitalize the way he did a year before, which was interesting. His name kind of slipped through in terms of guys who are gone. But yeah, he's out. Justin Lewis at Marquette. I don't know what to tell you. I feel like if he had come back, he would have really been a Dark Horse. Has not even given him enough credit. He could have been a potential Big East player of the year had he decided to return. Two and through guy. He's going to take his chance. That's fine. And then the one that I'm like bummed about that I would have just have loved to have seen him play. And the buzz was that if he was going to return, Houston would have been the spot for Kenneth Lofton Jr. He's staying in. You get a wide variety of feedback on his draft ability, how he projects. Obviously he's a bigger player. But he's got a lot of good IQ to him, a lot of efficiency to him. He's going to stick with it, man. If he had returned to Houston, there'd be a real case for Cougars at one.
Oh yeah. No,
not that there isn't now, but like if he was on Houston, forget about it. That would have been a fascinating, fascinating team. So those are the guys to me that left that I would have liked to have seen them return just to see what they would have done at the next level.
Right. Kenneth Lofton, somebody's going to take him on the idea that they can get him in shape.
And maybe they can. And a
Kenneth Lofton Jr. in shape. I mean, he's really skilled. I mean, he's fabulous. He's a great college basketball player.
Yes.
And if you can, like, the reasons you would hesitate to pick him is because of, I mean, I'm not body shaming here, but like we're talking about prospects is because of his body. But if you're convinced we can get him in a program with a dietitian, with a chef, you know, and all this stuff, and we can change. If you think you could change his body, you've really got something. And you know, perhaps he can play with that body. He apparently performed well at the combine. So there's a long list of guys. I know because of the way Zion has turned out, people like, you know, if that's the way you look, that's the way you're going to look. But that's not true. Go look at Kevin Love in his one season at UCLA. Google Kevin Love at UCLA and then Google Kevin Love like last year. It didn't even look like the same guy. So
yeah, or even like 4 years out of UCLA, he had really reshaped. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I think more often than Zion's the big story. I think more often guys do change their bodies for the better once they become professionals. And perhaps that's the hope for Kenneth Lofton. Another guy that you haven't mentioned yet, but I had to drop them in the top 25 of one because of a deadline day decision. Jules Bednar stayed in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Left UCLA. And I think I dropped UCLA from like 6th to 10th. Still got him in the top 10, but you know, that's a program that lost, you know, guys who could have reasonably come back to school. Jules Bednar, Johnny Juzang, you know, they're not guaranteed first round picks. In fact, they're not first round picks. You get those guys back, the preseason top five team. Now, you know, even at 10, I might have them a little higher than most.
Can you refresh the listeners if they're saying, well, all right, Bernard's gone, Juzang's gone, if you have it up in front of you, you still have them top 10. So who is coming in for UCLA? We know Amari Bailey. We got it. Who will be back in Westwood that you have UCLA as a top 10 outfit?
Well, you know, it starts with Jaime Jaquez and Tiger Campbell, right? That's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are rock solid at point guard. And Jaime Jaquez, there's another All-American guy.
You are not wrong. There is a scenario in which he plays himself into that kind of role. He won't be preseason, but he needs to be in consideration for among the 10 to 20 best players in the country.
And then, you know, they bring in Amari Bailey, who's the high-profile recruit. I believe another five-star, Adimbona. Is that right?
You tell me, my man. I was just having you set up UCLA.
Yeah, like I think they're going to be good. Let me double check where we're at on
GP. Will double check that. As he double checks that, a reminder, here are the non-seniors who are gone for good. A lot of these you might be aware of, but some of them kind of just, you know, if in your mind you wondered who's gone and who's here's big names that are gone. They're not playing college anymore. Kofi Coburn's not back in Illinois. Christian Brown left Kansas. Walker Kessler, see ya at Auburn. Kennedy Chandler, of course, at Tennessee. AJ Green decided this week that he was in the transfer portal, thought to be going to Iowa State where his father is. He's done with college. Man, I would have really liked to see him too. I should have added him to the list as well. Juzang's gone. Jake LaRavia, right. You know, 6 weeks ago was thought he would be back at Wake Forest. That's Sam Vecenie getting Jake LaRavia drafted as far as I'm concerned, because he has been more in on that guy than anyone. Granted, like NBA people really do see him as viable, but LaRavia's gone. Wake Forest had two NBA picks on its roster last season, and the scheduling didn't win. They didn't make the tournament there. Scottie Pippen Jr. is done with college. We mentioned Roddy. Jaden Shackelford, he's gone from Bama. And then one more, Jalen Williams, who is out at Arkansas, in addition to the Jalen Williams at Santa Clara, who's going to be a top 20 pick now. Jalen Williams at Arkansas, he has left as well. So those are just some notable names who maybe we didn't mention on the pod in recent weeks, but I just at least wanted to give them a little bit of attention. They're done. College, they've left the game behind them. And so there we go. All right. UCLA.
So they bring back Tiger Campbell, Jaime Jaquez. They do enroll two five-star freshmen, Amari Bailey. And Adimbona. He's a 6'9 center, top 15.
6'9 center. Drew Timmy situation?
It's a Drew Timmy situation.
Mick knows exactly what he's doing, man.
Surprise, surprise. Mick figured this out before even I did. You know, ranked 15th, class of 2022. And then they got another Dylan Andrews, a point guard, top 40 player in the class of 2022. So they got a nice mixture of established veteran guys who have done it and then like high level, you know, incoming freshmen. You know, I got UCLA in the top 10 still, and I believe that would make the Bruins my favorite in the Pac-12. You mentioned Jalen Williams, Arkansas. This is an interesting one for me. I've got Arkansas fifth. They're bringing back one player, basically.
Drop him out of the rankings. Get him out of there.
No, this is what's wild. I've got them fifth, and I'm like, because I believe that like they're enrolling four impactful transfers. They're bringing in 3 5-star freshmen. But it's a totally new team. I mean, Devontae Daniels is like the only guy who was meaningful last season who is back next season. and I've got them fifth. And I was like, man, am I giving Musk too much the benefit of the doubt? Because I believe in him, and they're back-to-back Elite Eights, and nobody, I don't think, has been better at like taking these pieces and putting them together and making a great team. Nobody's been better at that in recent years than Musk. You know what? I believe in him. I'm going to keep him in the top five even after losing Jalen Williams.
I can't go there.
Okay, but here's my point.
I don't even know if I'll have him top 10. Again, I'm always open to being wrong as hell. So,
but here's my point. Arkansas fans are furious.
That they're that low?
Yes.
You're out of their minds. They're out of their, you know what? I
got Arkansas fans, and they're like, oh, you'll learn your lesson someday.
You know what? You go 24 years without making a damn Sweet 16. You make a couple in consecutive seasons, and suddenly, you're the best program in the history of the sport. Let's just dial it back, Hogs fans. Listen, we love your enthusiasm, and you deserve happiness after having such a proud program with really good history. You know, one of the bedrock teams in your conference in the 90s. Well, were they in the whatchamacallit before that?
Southwest.
There we go, Southwest. In those two leagues, like, you just really, really important history. And then you'd have nothing to show for it for two decades, right? And then you finally get back. And now you're going to give my guy grief for not having him as high as 3, 2, or 1. Get out of here. I guarantee you this. I'm not putting Arkansas top 5 in the 1 to 358.
Well, hey.
Come on, Harvard.
Well, they're coming for you now.
Find me in October. You guys got nothing on Beaver Fever. So,
yeah. Nice. So they bring back Devontae Davis and then they got a bunch of new pieces. And I think they'll be really good. But I thought I was maybe putting them too high at 5. And Arkansas fans think I couldn't be more ridiculous to only have them at 5. We'll see.
We'll see. More than anything, want to see how Musk handles that new roster situation. And yeah, that will be fascinating to see what he does. And Musk, by the way, has some good, this is a thing for another time, but since we're bringing it up, I was talking to Musk on the record. I just haven't written it. But Musk like hates the calendar the way that it is, like with, and understandably he's not alone, but between the transfer portal deadline on May 1 and, you know, live recruiting events, the fact that he did this, it's like genuinely impressive. He was kind of going off, and they're hoping that they can change the way, and this needs to be changed. You can't have a situation where like these guys are going to the portal wanting to take official visits on like April 20th and coaches are going out on the road recruiting, and it's like, I can't be in two places at once. He was making some good points there. We'll see if they get any movement on that.
Everybody hates the calendar.
Everyone hates the calendar, but like trust me, coaches always want to change it. We'll probably, you know, back our way into this conversation in July on the recruiting trail, but they have a very good point right now. You can't have the situation where it's April 20th and you've got these really, really good transfers that want to come and visit your campus. And at the same time, you need to be out on the road to go see this player in person that you've been recruiting for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and you literally can't be in two places at once. They have to figure out a way to fix that. And just like Musk told me, I think I shared it with you on the podcast, he said he took more time fielding calls and texts from transfers than he did to prepare for Gonzaga for the Sweet 16. That's outrageous. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you can share that on the record. I'm like, what? On transfers and preparing for your Sweet 16 game? And then they wound up winning anyway. But that's a joke.
I had another SEC coach tell me he worked harder in April than he worked in March. Worked harder in April than he did in February.
I believe it. Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're not here to bemoan on the half of coaches. Right. You get paid well, but I'm just trying to relate the.
Yeah, like everybody hates the calendar. What one coach told me is they need a shutdown period, not a dead period.
That's going to happen, apparently.
Like a shutdown period.
Like nothing.
Nothing. You can't call. You can't text. You can't have anybody on campus. You can't be on the road. Like, if you do any of these things, you are violating rules. There has to be a shutdown period because, again, not to feel sorry for these multimillionaires, but it is, you know, an issue. Like, I had one coach tell me he bought a condo at the beach.
It's poor dude.
I know. No, like, we all acknowledge.
I'm just leaning into the bit.
Yeah, right. We all acknowledge. Hey, stop. You know, you're
bought his third piece of property.
you're making, you know, $2.8 million per year, and nobody's gonna actually feel sorry for you.
Nope.
But this coach said, I bought a condo at the beach.
I can't even relax at my condo on the beach without taking text messages with 17-year-olds.
I'm just
able to live my life.
I'm just relaying the story. All right. He said, I bought a condo at the beach within like last year. I've been there once, and that was within the past few weeks, and the entire time I was on the phone. And I said, man, that is horrible. No, but it does suck.
I don't even get to talk to my housekeeper. You don't realize how busy I am. Do you understand?
It is like, I get it, but like, once you get past the fact that it's multimillionaires complaining, if you could ever set that aside, it would kind of suck to have a beach house and never be able to enjoy it. You know? Hey, so I was talking to another coach the other day, and he said, you know, I'm so busy, I can't even drive my Lamborghini. And then I was on the phone with another coach, and he was like, you wouldn't believe how much time I had to spend on Zoom when I was on my yacht off the coast of Spain.
This one guy was telling me one time, he's like, they pay for three different country club memberships for me. I haven't even been to two of them.
I haven't even been
to two of these things, man. I try and get there. There's just no shot. Nothing. Can't make it happen.
No.
It's funny. They're viable gripes on their own, relatively speaking. But yes, it's all too good. Last thing here as we wrap up on the players, we can bash on coaches all day long, really. TCU, huge winner. Damian Ball is back. A whole starting five is back. Watch out for the Frogs. Made the tournament last season. Had a humongously entertaining, awesome game that they lost against why is this person texting me here? We good? It's a random text. Okay, there we go. Someone texted me. Remember Michael? This actually relates to college basketball. Michael Avenatti apparently just broke with the AP. Michael Avenatti, remember his whole deal with?
Oh yeah.
Gets 4-year prison term for defrauding Stormy Daniels, porn actor he represented in battles with Trump.
It's a tough deal.
This person texting me this, and I appreciate the update there, but
do you ever get frustrated when people send you stuff that you obviously have seen?
No.
Like,
how do they know I've seen it? I don't know.
Well, like, it could be like something. Let's say, God forbid, there was another school shooting today, and like it was happening 30 minutes.
I know why the person sent this to me, because it was an inside joke. Continue. Anyway,
it's happening 30 minutes to go, and it's like all over television and all over social media. And then somebody will text me and be like, "So did you hear about this shooting? What? How could I not have heard about this shooting?"
These are people that live normal lives. Like my wife, she doesn't use Twitter. So like, I'll find out something that happens at like, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at dinner that night, she'll bring it up. She'll be like, "Did you, I was just told." I was like, yeah, no, I just, you know, I saw it. Yeah.
My wife actually does it sometimes too. Yeah. It'll be like, I don't know, some celebrity, like Kim Kardashian filed for divorce, and it's all over everywhere, right? I mean, if you're on your computer, you can't.
I actually, to be honest, that won't flare my radar. Maybe if you retweet it into my feed or something, but no, that's not going to hit my radar. Did that happen? Other than Kanye, has she gotten remarried again? I couldn't even tell you. I don't pay attention to that stuff.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm being. That Kardashian is dating the drummer from Blink 182.
Married. They're married.
Okay. So I know that's the case. Dude, I don't pay attention to any of that.
You don't know that Kim Kardashian is dating Pete Davidson. You're not aware of that.
I do know. So now that you remind me, I do know that. Yes, I'm aware. But if you had told me that she was married to him, I would have been like, that doesn't surprise me, but I didn't even know that happened.
Okay, trivia time.
Oh boy, this is what we're doing? Okay.
Who is Kendall Jenner dating?
This is not a bit. I cannot tell you. You need to give me a hint, and then maybe I'll be like, oh yeah, I remember maybe seeing that once.
He's remotely
a clue.
NBA player.
Kendall Jenner is dating an NBA player.
Yes.
You're not, oh gosh.
This is
not
crazy
texting
to me.
I had no idea that she's dating Devin Booker.
Yes, she dated. This is crazy to me.
No idea.
Who is Kylie Jenner dating?
Dude.
Come on.
All right. No, don't spoil this one for me, Nada. He texted me the answer. You knew he was right on it, by the way.
It is
we lost Nada on this podcast, by the way. Can we just breeze by that? We thought we lost the man 30 minutes ago.
I can't overstate how wild it is to me that you don't know this stuff.
Okay. I don't.
Not only do I know who Kylie Jenner is dating, I know everything they do.
Yeah, no. Is that a good thing?
Oh, probably not, but I know everything about these people.
All right. Kylie Jenner, give me a genre. What's the occupation of the person? What do they do?
He's a hip-hop star.
Okay. It's Kylie Jenner's a hip-hop star. Is it one of like the 5 to 10 most famous hip-hop stars?
Yeah, I would just say so.
I mean, I couldn't even venture a guess. Like, I don't even... a hip-hop star that's... Like, I know she's not dating Kendrick Lamar, so I know that's not the answer.
That's right. She's not dating Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar is dating Whitney.
Don't know who Whitney is.
It's just the mother of his children.
Okay. That good for Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
I actually got to that record. I don't like it as much as To Pimp and Damn. Give me the answer. I don't even know it.
Travis Scott.
Nah, wouldn't have gotten there. Would not have gotten there.
They have two children together.
Do they really?
Yes.
Whew. Not big on Travis Scott. Not big on Travis Scott. You got another one for me?
Who was Khloe Kardashian married to?
That's Lamar Odom, right?
Okay, she was married to Lamar Odom. Who did she have a baby with?
It was another NBA player, right?
That's right.
Give me a conference.
He played college basketball in the Big
12. Is this going to give it away too easily?
No, he played college basketball in the Big 12.
PJ Tucker. Just kidding.
Like, my wife would, I mean, maybe that makes sense. I was going to say my wife would know this, but like, she would know it because she follows this stuff.
Kevin Durant. Just kidding. Khloe Kardashian, Big 12 player. That's Mario Chalmers.
She does not have a baby with Mario Chalmers. Cole Aldrich.
Jeff Withey.
Yes. Let's think of Big 12 players Khloe Kardashian could have a baby with.
Epe Udo. Go on down the line. I see in the chat. That's right. Tristan Thompson. I knew that.
Yeah, but
I knew that. Would have taken
that's,
me
that. That's,
I
not that. A, that's not as fun as naming Big 12 players Khloe Kardashian could have a baby with. Let's see.
Bring up your Baylor list, man.
I regret. She actually has a baby with. I'm looking for names now.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, he couldn't.
A lot of people don't know she has a baby with Rodney Magruder.
Yeah, now Magruder off the top of the dome, 45 seconds ago would have been better if you could have pulled it out there. You know, give us a little Devin Ebanks action. You know. West Virginia player or whatever. I don't know. Ebanks might have actually been in the Big East, but yeah. Something along those lines, you know. Pluck an Oklahoma dude from not so long ago.
Yeah, you know? She has a lot of people don't
Ryan
realize
Spangler.
This. She has a baby with Javon Carter.
This is where we've landed. I was trying, speaking of the Big 12, TCU was a winner. Whatever. Harrison Ingram's back at Stanford. USC got Boogie Ellis and Drew Peterson back in Kansas on the Big 12 note. It's getting Kevin McCullough and Jalen Wilson back. You want a couple of actual viable preseason All-American candidates. McCullough, a transfer from Texas Tech. Texas Tech fan base is going to hate everyone in that conference. They probably already do, but everyone's leaving this to go elsewhere in the league.
Right there with Arkansas fans, Texas Tech fans. Wildly offended that I do not have the Red Raiders in the top 25-1. They said they retweet the top 25-1. This is what they say. Tell me you don't watch college basketball
without telling me you don't watch college basketball. Like Texas Tech fans. Fardaz Amak, Big 12 Player of the Year. I think I'm going to drive that bus. So you got that from me at least.
Texas Tech fans really upset. They can't imagine me being any dumber than not having the Red Raiders in the top 25-1. I mean, you could reasonably have them in, but it's not crazy to not have them in.
It's not.
They think it is.
Let's get out of here.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck, Larnell, all the Jenners and all the Kardashians. If you're not subscribed to the Ion College Basketball Podcast, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. At Apple, gotta leave a nice comment.
My wife has mentioned to me before, she's like, the Pete Davidson thing absolutely vexes me. I don't get it. I don't know.
Dude, I don't understand what people don't get about Pete Davidson. Let me run you through it real quick.
Oh, no. Why did I have to say something? Why? Because
people.
Well, my wife has been like, what's with Pete Davidson?
Adi said, Chloe.
Why are you asking me?
Adi tweeted that or commented Khloe Kardashian has a baby with Craig Brackens. Craig Brackens is a good one.
It's a good one.
Pete Davidson.
Just name dudes, right? Just
Pete Davidson is tall, thin, good looking. He is famous, wealthy, self-deprecating, and that's a great place to start the list. What, like, I don't understand why people think it's crazy that Pete Davidson gets all these women. Like,
I'm just giving it a female's perspective. She doesn't see the appeal whatsoever.
And every time people say, hey, I don't see how Pete Davidson gets these women, you know what he says? I don't either. It's wild. When he was dating Ariana Grande, he was on with Howard Stern.
No idea that was a thing. Again.
What? How do you not know? Pete Davidson was engaged to Ariana Grande.
He was engaged to Ariana Grande?
For like a week. But yes. It's amazing. Definitely. And so Howard Stern was kind of doing the same thing. Like, man, look at you. How do you do it? He's like, listen, I don't know, man. It's like, I feel like I won a contest or something. Like I won a contest, and if you won it, you got to date Ariana Grande. So here I am. That's the only thing that makes sense. I totally understand the Pete Davidson thing. It makes the most sense to me. I don't know why. I don't know why that's hard for people to understand.
We can probably wrap it here.
There's more of us than there are of them. And Pete Davidson is one of us.
For sure.
I think that's been established. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!